listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey yo, Bo knows this and Bo knows that, but Bo don't know jack because Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The Did Dog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holes bars, no times of moves faking. Gots to get the loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the trial can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like Will will help you get your Z's, troop. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome, but some nut inside your eye to show you where I come from. I'm vexed, fuming. I had it up to here. My days of paying dues are over. Acknowledge me is in there. Yeah. Head to the border. Go get a taco. I'll be wrecking from the jump street. Mean from the get-go. Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard, but act like you know. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
That's right. We are in the house on a Wednesday. The last show of the week for the non-premium people. Premium folks, we have Balls Deep tomorrow, Thursday morning. Me and Justin. So we'll see you then. Of course, for all you people out there, we appreciate y'all listening. Okay. A lot of people, you know, they take that stuff for granted, but we don't. We appreciate our listeners and we couldn't do it without y'all. Leave us a 5-star review in case you haven't already. I mean, come on. What the fuck are you waiting on? Go to iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Black Guy Who Tips and leave us a 5-star review.
The year's almost over. Some of y'all been waiting a whole, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. You got 2 more days.
Start with that motherfucking, start with that New Year's resolution now of giving us our motherfucking 5 stars, nigga. Come on.
It's free.
You know?
Don't cost you nothing.
But yeah, so make sure you guys do that. Of course, in addition to finding the show there, you can find it at theblackouttips.com. You can become a premium member at theblackouttips.com/premium. If you want to see the RSS feed links for your podcast app and your mobile devices, go to theblackouttips.com/premium once you're a premium member and make sure you're logged in. Scroll to the bottom. All the information is right there at the bottom of the page on how to listen to the show. It's that easy, guys. Of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show, I think I got your mic too low. All right, there we go.
Okay, how about
got
now?
I got it.
Okay.
And today's show is sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We're going to be uploading a lot of new videos to our YouTube channel, so you guys could really pick us up by going to our YouTube channel, watching, liking, and commenting on videos. It's a free and easy way to support the Blackout Tips sponsor. Also, we're giving out a free Rod and Karen audio play to everyone who subscribes to our channel in the month of December. So people who subscribed recently qualify. So go to youtube.com/user/shadowdogproduction. Check us out and subscribe. Yeah, go subscribe, man. Get you a free audio play.
It's worth it, y'all. Yeah. They funny.
We got some funny stuff out there. I think you guys would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance to hear it. So all right, what do I want to talk about? I guess I'll start with this. Couple of random thoughts, not a lot, but we might as well go through them. I thought of them and now it's time to talk about them. Isn't it funny how we all hate people, but we all feel bad when people get their jobs automated, right? Like, it's always like, man, don't talk to me. People are the worst. Customer service is the worst. I hate fucking having to interact with people. I wouldn't even go to the store if it wasn't for people. I wouldn't go, you know, I thought of this, the other day, cause I went to Chick-fil-A, and when you go at lunch, they have 2 people standing outside. Rather than you just go, hey, I want a number 4 to the box.
Right.
It's like a person and they got a picture, like, what do you want, sir? Number 6, number this, number that. And then, you know, and of course it's a long ass line because white people love Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny though, because I was like, man, if I had known a person would be out here, I probably would have just went to like somewhere else to eat so I could just talk to the machine. But then at the same time, that's 2 extra jobs. That those people, that Chick-fil-A has employed 2 people that, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, gone there and, you know, they wouldn't have had that employment. So it's like, actually, I'm kind of against some people's jobs at sometimes, even though I don't mean to be. My want to be left alone sometimes leads to people losing their jobs.
Yeah, I think just with the advancement of technology, some things are bound to happen. There now, when it comes to certain things, I want to talk to a person. I don't want to go, put like this. Particularly when your question is something, it's particularly if you're calling a 1-800 number, you're going through the loops, press one, press two, say this, say that. Particularly if the system can't give you your goddamn answer. No, I need to talk with somebody that can actually look up in the system, give me an answer, type up my shit, correct shit. No, I don't want to talk to your computer. No, I don't want to do this, you know. So you basically have to tell it to talk to a person, you know, because there's some things that only a person can do.
And then who you gonna blame for your order being fucked up? Well, you can't talk to a person. It's just your fault, you know. When you're on the phone and you can't mistreat the customer service rep that got unlucky enough to answer your ignorant ass call.
I think that's true.
Now you gotta blame it on the computer. You can't, computers don't have feelings to be hurt and to feel bad about and families to bring that pain home to and stuff like that.
All the computer gonna do is go through a loop, go, I cannot compute that. I don't know what department that is. How can I transfer your call? Like you're cussing them out.
Yeah, it's hard to balance like being an introvert with the fact that I don't want people to like lose their job, but here I am going, you know, I'd rather go to self-checkout than talk to the dude about the spot over there for the 50th time. I guess they got rid of that dude.
They either got rid of him or he worked nights, because most of the time.
I've been in there at night. I ain't seen Publix Buddy in a minute.
Oh, shit. Now he might be at the spot now.
Maybe he over at Walmart. I hope, you know, hopefully he's at the spot in heaven, you know.
I hope he is, too.
Another thing I was thinking of. Oh, wait, I forgot to mention. This episode is also brought to you by Bevel. Did I not bring that up?
Nope.
This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today. Get your first month free at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com/TBGWT. All right, cool. All right, so another thing I was thinking about, I was watching, Teen Titans Go, and they had an episode with Killer Moth, and Killer Moth is actually a real villain in the comic and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, Killer Moth is such a whack, harmless-ass villain.
I ain't know, particularly in the cartoon.
He had to put Killer before his name because nobody's afraid of just the Moth.
Nope, they're not.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, the Moth is coming to get you. It's like, oh, that's
about,
like, maybe I'll be scared for a little bit, but it's like a Moth in real life. They look weird, but they can't hurt you.
No.
You know what I mean? So he had to put Killer before it to make it be like, oh, no, that motherfucker ain't no joke.
Like, nah, yeah, I'm a real killer. Yeah, I got wings, and I am multicolor, and I'm similar to the color of a bee and a wasp, but I will fuck you up. Nah, I won't take you seriously.
But it's not like, you know, Killer Joker. Like, you don't need it when you're the other ones. You know, the murderous penguin, the rape Riddler. I don't know what the Riddler would be. Something Riddler.
I have a question. Adventure Time, what is that villain's name called? Monarch?
There's a lot of, okay, you just tanked that. It's not Adventure Time, it's Adventure Brothers.
Thank you.
And yeah, he's the Monarch. And his sidekick, Dr. Girlfriend. Another thing I was thinking about, you know, everybody's doing this paperclip shit, everybody got up in arms about it, but what would be helpful is it when a white person was about to say something problematic, like
paper clip. What was happening with the paperclip?
The safety pin.
Oh, okay. There's something else happened with a paperclip.
My bad. I fucked up that joke. Anyway, everybody's up in arms about the safety, safety pin. I think people should wear paper clips because you know how MS Word has that like paper clip that pops up when you're about to do something stupid. And it's like, hey, don't do that. We should have paper clips for white people. They be like, well, I just think all lives matter. They be like, you sure you want to pipe that? You like you're about to say something racist. Are you sure you want to say that? You know?
But looking at your skin tone, I can tell you're white. Are you sure you want to put offensive slurs out there? You might lose your job.
It looks like you're about to provide cover for white supremacy. Are you sure you want to type that sin on this Facebook page?
Are you sure?
And then, to take it even further, I think we should bring it to real life. And we should have paperclip box. Every month I can send out paper clips to people, to white people, well-meaning white people. I wouldn't provide any instructions on how to like fight white supremacy. All that stuff seems hard. But what I would do is charge twice as much as Marissa and Leslie and then get all the credit. And then when I'm on my speaking tour and getting all the money, you know, it'll be like we all made it, but really me. So, you know,
I would not let this happen.
I just want to take all the credit that they have worked so hard to get.
Black women, just like everybody else do.
When I'm interviewing Lena Dunham about my paperclip box on next season of Girls, don't be mad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that shit gonna be flames.
I will owe it all.
She gonna do a whole episode on it.
I will owe it all to myself. oh yeah, this happened a long time ago and I didn't even really cover it, but it was weird because remember when Drake dissed Kid Cudi when he went to a mental health facility? And then J. Cole kind of did a diss. It was really not a hard diss, but it was kind of a diss to Kanye with the False Prophets thing song. And when he was in a mental health facility, and I'm old enough to remember when rappers only did that when you went to jail.
Right
now we doing it when people go into mental health facility. In a way, that's kind of progress, you know, like we used to diss people. It's like, oh, he in jail, fuck your bitch, I'm gonna fuck your wife and all this shit. You know, now it's like, he's working on his mental health issues. Anyway, that nigga is whack and he's a bitch and I want to make jokes about it. I think that's everything. Oh yeah, last thing. You know how people always harp on gender norms? We talk about them on the show sometimes.
Yes.
Gender norms and how, you know, they can be imprisoning. They can be a problem. But everybody's always so concentrating on gender norms. But what about gender cliff? Exactly. People that watch Cheers, y'all get that joke. The rest of y'all, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All right, young people, let's move to things you actually do know what this is about.
You and eight other people.
Yep.
That's an old ass show.
The crossover between people that watch Cheers and listen to this show and know them character names. It's got to be like five of y'all out there, and I appreciate y'all hitting me up on Twitter tomorrow, the five of y'all that did get that.
Where everybody knows your name.
Let's see what happened. Oh, President Obama signs the Emmett Till Act to reopen unsolved civil rights cases.
It's going to be open for a hot 20 more days and it's going to be closed again.
Donald Trump going to sign something to close anything?
Come on, grand opening, grand closing.
Well, he signed the Emmett Till Civil Rights Crimes Reauthorization Act of 2016, expanding the responsibilities of the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate and prosecute criminal civil rights violations that occurred before 1980 and resulted in the death. Yeah, I do wonder under Trump how much attention does this get, because you know under Obama he didn't even have to really like create an act or any law. It was just like our Justice Department is going to be one that looks into this sort of stuff, and obviously the next one will not. Even if you kind of put it on the books, I just imagine they'll just ignore it.
Correct.
Which I mean, correct. There's really no,
there's nothing forcing them to do jack shit,
right? You know, if more and more it feels more like Obama was a stone in the water of a river that was flowing anyway. You know, that's how most things that are trying to have some level of justice and all this shit with race stuff, it is anyway in government. And in America, is very much like a pebble thrown in the ocean, and then of course it just collapses around it and absorbs the pebble. But he tried. The bill is an expansion of a previous bill of the same name that passed by the House of Representatives in 2007. According to the White House summary, the bill calls on the DOJ and the FBI to support the full accounting of all victims whose death or disappearances were the result of racially motivated crimes and hold accountable under federal and state individuals who were perpetrators of it or accomplices in unsolved civil rights murders and disappearances. The bill also requires the federal agencies to meet regularly with civil rights organizations, institutions of higher education, and the DOJ designated entities to coordinate information sharing and discuss the status of DOJ Emmett Till Act work. So the agencies must also keep families regularly informed about the status of investigations. Trump just gonna be sending letters to their house like nothing.
We're Skyping in.
It's gonna be like that scene in Spaceballs. He's like, we ain't found shit.
Ain't that, that's exactly how that's gonna go.
Oh, I forgot to mention before we even move on, the cards came in. I got everybody's the new holiday cards.
Oh,
for people
are pretty. party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the 2016 edition. Happy holidays.
Yay!
Says Merry and Bright, and I picked some pictures to put on there. So the remaining people that haven't gotten the cards, that's the cards they'll be getting because we ran out basically. So you guys will be getting the new fangled cards. So hopefully everybody enjoy those.
They pretty, y'all.
Yeah. Appreciate the people that, you know, that like the cars and stuff. We'll be sending those out. And also, I did something else while I was there that I thought was pretty cool. I only got 10 of these. Now, I don't know how, I know I gotta give Justin one. I don't know how we're gonna do everybody else, but, I made calendars.
Oh, we have
for 2017.
Have to do something to give them away.
Yeah, so we got 2017 calendars.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to play games.
And as you can see, like every month, I don't know if you guys can see in the chat, but every month has like a thing, you know. January, of course, Black History Month.
Okay.
You know, we got some pictures with friends. You know, there goes Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
For March, because, you know, being in the streets, marching. There goes our girl, Coco Cutie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's my mom.
With mom.
I think that's when Mother's Day is, right? Is that when
yes.
Mother's Day? All right, cool. Jose, when we went to Miami, he made that picture for us. Because 2016 was like a dope year for us.
2016 was the best.
Yeah. When we went to Eden Rock, and we were at RevoltCon in Miami. Of course, when we met Leslie. You know. Mike Lawrence.
Yes.
You know, that was cool.
Oh, I like this. Might be traditional. But we just do this every year. Just make calendars.
Mm, yeah.
I would like this.
This is the October one. This is us, you know, rooting for the Panthers. And let's see what else we got. Oh, Bomani, of course.
Yes.
Also down there in Miami. And Aaron and his wife, when we went out to eat in Charlotte.
Yes.
We had sushi and everybody did their hip hop pose.
Yes, we did.
And so that's it. The only thing I wish I had got and I forgot to was to put all of us when we were at AwesomeCon, but that's my fault.
Okay.
Yeah, I meant to put one up of just the AwesomeCon panel and stuff and all the fans, but yeah, man, so we got like 10 of those. We'll figure out cool ways to give them away and stuff. I know
that might be a tradition because I like that.
Yeah, I gotta give a couple, you know, I gotta give at least one to Justin and try to give one to my mom, you know, my dad. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, man, so it's just a cool thing to do. All right, back to the show. Gabrielle Union and BET reached an agreement so that she will be continuing to be in Mary Jane.
Make your money, because they didn't do you right.
Yeah, I mean, I figured they wouldn't have a choice either, because, I mean...
She the star of the show!
Yeah. On the last update of Gabrielle Union's $3 million lawsuit filed against BET for breach of contract regarding salary increases and the filming of Being Mary Jane was almost 2 months ago, when Actors Union SAG-AFTRA announced that it had gotten involved on behalf of not just Union, but the entire Being Mary Jane cast, accusing BET and series producer Breakdown Productions, what an unfortunate name, on violating their contract with the union with regards to the hit show. Since then, the network and its star have come to plug the upcoming season. Continue to plug the upcoming season with the release of a couple of teasers, some images, and social media announcements, leading us to believe that both sides have reached a settlement or were close enough for one that they felt comfortable that the new season would premiere as scheduled without any delays.
Yeah, because that was some fucked up bullshit y'all was trying to do right there. Y'all knew it, too.
Yeah, BET released a statement saying, BET Networks is pleased to announce that they have reached an amicable agreement with Gabrielle Union and look forward to sharing the new season of Being Mary Jane with its loyal fans again on January 10th, 2017. The statement provided to Deadline reads, although specifics weren't shared, but we can now at least say with certainty that the show will go on without any hindrances.
Y'all caused the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Just honored your contract and what you said you were gonna do, and it wouldn't have been no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm not trying to be funny. Ain't like Gabrielle Union, a quote-unquote nobody. She'd be like, all right, peace. Let's see if this show will still be keep the reins it is without me. I can go start some new shit.
Yeah. Pretty simple. Shaving pubic hair is related to STIs, says a study.
What?
You may want to keep some grass on the field, ladies. And men. We all have pubic hair, don't we? If you think...
if you keep a little furry.
Yeah, you might want to... You might want to let the grass grow so you can play on the field, okay, guys? If you like things...
Don't take it all off the landing strip.
Yeah, it's... I mean, obviously... Everybody's preference is their preference. Your kink is your kink, and how you like your body is how you like your body. But it's always been weird to me, the idea of wanting somebody to be like completely shaven downstairs, like, you know what I mean, like completely just like a prepubescent child or something.
Need to let me know that you are over the age of 12.
But it's like clearly a thing, though. It I mean, obviously, because it's all throughout pornography, right? And whatnot, and it has, and it's not like a recent thing. It's pretty much always been like that, except for like the maybe the 70s or something. I don't know. I've never seen a picture where it was like back in the day. If you ain't have a fro down there, you know,
back in the day, you couldn't twist it and lock it. You wasn't real,
what? Right? But apparently, that's not necessarily the healthiest way to handle things when it comes to your pubic hair. A new study done at the University of California, San Francisco reports that... Oh, wait, I can play it.
If you like things as smooth as a baby's bottom down below, you may want to rethink your grooming habits. The University of California, San Francisco conducted a national survey based on questions about pubic hair grooming practices, sexual behaviors, and STI history. Over 7,500 men and women residing in the U.S. completed the questionnaire, and after the data was compiled, researchers observed a link between STIs and grooming. They wrote, "Our hypothesis is that grooming is positively related to STIs. They also added, the act of shaving may create epidermal micro tears that might allow transmission of bacteria or viruses like HPV. But it's not all bad news for committed groomers. According to the study, removing pubic hair does eliminate certain other sexually transmitted problems like pubic lice."
What the hell? I never heard no pubic lice.
Well, you didn't pay enough attention in sexual education class. Now, they definitely talked about lice.
I mean, yeah, lice on your hair, not your head.
No. There's lice that go on. If there's lice that can go on the hair inside your head, why wouldn't they be able to go on the hair on your vagina, Karen?
That makes sense, but it does not mean that it makes complete sense. I'm not saying it don't make sense. I'm going, okay, I just never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Survey says that men with beards are more likely to lie, cheat, and steal.
The hair fakes everybody out.
According to this, I don't know. I mean, I guess. You know, I guess I'm a lying, cheating, stealing ass nigga. I don't know. Video social network Eva recently conducted a survey via CensusWide to find out what people had to say about the beard trend among men. The results of the UK-based study deliver some bad news for men who have dedicated months to growing out beards in hopes of attracting women, having a more active sex life, and generally looking better. There are links to things. I guess that's true. I guess beards are more attractive to women, having more active sex lives if you have a beard, and you generally look better. Those are all linked to things, so cool. Not to mention bad news for the women they've been dating. Now, respondents to the poll, 47% of men with a beard admitted to cheating on their significant other, compared to 20% of clean-shaven men. But wouldn't that make those men more honest that they admitted it? I don't know. I'm lost now. Now I'm lost. 40% of men with a beard also came clean about having stolen in the past. Jesus. Compared to 17% of clean-shaven men.
What if they stealing and putting the shit in their beards? What the fuck is happening here?
Compared to 17% of clean-shaven men who had gotten the five-finger discount. The real zinger came from the results of a survey asking women how attracted they found a goatee. 65% of women said they prefer their men clean-shaven. In fact, more than 35% of women polled would rather have their men have gray hair than facial hair. Could this be the onset of the baby face trend for men looking to get laid? Seems to be like the wave. You know, the question here for me is, was it just lying? People saw people was getting beards and they started growing them out too to hide amongst us upstanding fine bearded gentlemen? You know?
Never know.
You know, and then also stealing, like people with beards steal more often. That's so sad. I guess the beard is like
a distraction.
No, that's not what I was gonna say. I guess the beard is like colored wigs, but for like for black women. So you'd be like, oh, that neon purple wig woman, something about her, you know, you like, oh, she
you know what,
she might cut me, but you know, there's something about her, she's still attractive.
I wonder, you have perpetrators that wear fake beards?
Probably. I mean, I've seen pictures of that. I've seen the whole like video of people drawing beards on people's faces and shit. It's crazy. The game is crazy out here, y'all.
I clear it is. It ain't be careful. That serious, baby.
Be careful out here. they need bearded men, ladies. You're taking a chance, I guess.
Know. Rub your finger through it and look at your hand. You'll have paint on it. Mascara.
I know. Feel so bad, man. So someone brought up Mrs. Claus. Like, maybe Santa don't really be giving toys out. He just be in the be at his other women crib.
Yeah, maybe he ain't in his workshop with the elves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is, and I don't know. It might be that poem we was talking about you the other day.
Nah, I wasn't talking about you, us. One dead and five injured after a large tree falls on a wedding party in Whittier.
Oh, what happened?
It seems that there was a wedding party where a tree fell and it killed the, I want to say, multiple people were trapped after the treetop at around 4:30 p.m. I heard the crackling and I looked up and it was just an odd sound, said witness Mary Escarga. A wedding party was taking pictures after the ceremony when a 100-foot-tall eucalyptus tree trapped up to 20 people. The fire department said chainsaws were used to remove those that were trapped underneath the tree's branches. One person was killed and five, including a young girl, were injured. The five people who were injured suffered minor to moderate injuries and were taken to the hospital for treatment. They're all expected to recover.
Yeah, 100-year-old tree? Shit, yeah, you get trapped underneath a branch. You might as well be pinned down by a giant.
The scene was very chaotic, said Sergeant Jason Zuhite.
I bet you probably couldn't see nobody, a tree that big.
Mm-hmm.
People get, all you hear is screams.
Yeah, I'm sure they, you know, I'm sure they, that groom was pining after his wife, but yeah, you gotta be careful, guys. Renee's,
and I hope it fell on his own, and one of the exes didn't get mad. It was like, fuck your wedding, and push that tree over.
Trying to get in that shade, and it, you know, maybe I guess they all should leave. It's just the whole branch of the family just get crushed.
Right.
Underneath that tree.
I mean, there was, you know, ex-girlfriend was just trying to offer olive branch, and but instead she gave you a tree.
That's what. Yep. It must have been the fall. Renee Zaldivar, who was at the park for the canciller, says he saw the bride during the chaos. She was limping a little bit, but she was screaming about her mom. They couldn't wake her up. Oh man,
I hope she wouldn't have went it past.
A search dog was brought in to search for additional victims who could still be trapped. Yeah. Fortunately, there were more people injured. There weren't more people injured by the tree collapse, said John Tripp. And it could have been a lot worse. The wedding party was taken to a nearby senior center where mental health counselors were made to them. Man, that's your big day. You know, like, that's the day.
That's gonna be a day everybody gonna remember.
Right. That's the day that, and it's like, your wedding is also the day that somebody died. Like, can you ever really celebrate your wedding anniversary? Because you got to think back to like, yep, and that's the day, you know, my mother-in-law or my mom or whoever got trapped under that tree. And like, that's crazy. Like, how do you not get a divorce?
I don't know. Did the tree yell timber before it fell?
I don't think so, Karen. I think it just fell over, and because people could see it, it made a sound. Sound of screams. Officials could not confirm the heavy rains reported Friday evening playing a factor in the tree collapse.
Well, yeah, I guess it is true. If you hear a tree and a tree falls, is it real? Ask those people. The answer to that is yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just such a sap for these stories. You guys know how it is. Make you sad. But Arborists are expected to investigate why the tree fell.
It's old, 100 years old.
Oh, it's an old tree. That maybe that's what it is, guys.
Mm-hmm. 100 years old tree's rotten. Man, you know, man had a disease and some shit, and it just tipped over.
Mm. Yeah, you would think something like this would happen in like Oakland, but you wouldn't think it would happen. You wouldn't think it would happen here, you know. And it's all when they were taking photosynthesis of each other wedding party. The identity of the person who was killed has not yet been released. Well, hopefully they find a way to let it go. Sorry guys, I actually had that story for a while. It's just one of those evergreen stories. Nah, they just sit around sometimes.
That was the tree was telling them, get your hat and coat and leave then.
That's all.
They ain't want to listen, so tree made them leave.
That's all. All right, let's move on.
That tree said, fuck your wedding.
I think we got to the root of these jokes, guys. Time to move on to the next one. California congresswoman declares war on Trump. I'm going to fight him every inch of the way. Appearing on MSNBC, a California congresswoman made it absolutely clear she has no intention of working with President-elect Donald Trump, saying there is no reason to trust him and that she will fight him every inch of the way. In an interview with host Jacob Soboroff, the feisty representative Maxine Waters was unrelenting in her attacks on Trump, saying she would refuse to meet him if he asked her to sit down with him. And all I'm saying is, black women stay leading the motherfucking way.
Good.
Where's everybody else on this?
Right, because that's what they've done. They stuck their fucking foot in the mud and the government did not run properly. The most vetoes, we passed the least amount of legislation. Jack shit, the government went to a complete halt.
Yeah, they fought Obama on so much shit. He
even shit
in 8 years, his administration is gonna have the least amount of bills that passed in 8 years. I don't think Obama's some radical ass president. I know, you know, my radical black friends definitely don't think he's a radical president. So why the fuck did he only get that much administration passed? You know, and it's obvious because they fought him tooth and nail just because he was black, period. He was a black person, and you can depend on a lot of the angry white part of America to have your back on your obstructionism, and that's exactly what they did. And it's sad to see white liberals not learning from the mistakes of the past. Matter of fact, just call this fucking with black people because we might as well just go all the way in. Because there's actually a lot of shit I want to talk about with this. But to start it off though, of course Maxine Waters is the person to be like, we don't need to work with them. The problem is the rest of the party should be looking to people like Maxine Waters for leadership on this.
And they're not, and right. It's sad.
They're looking at Bernie Sanders, who's not a Democrat.
And don't give a fuck
right.
About you or your party. And my thing is this, it frustrates me when, like you say, once again, you see black women taking the lead, taking the being in front and kind of setting an example. And what's sad is that I think that from Hillary Clinton, a lot of the white, quote unquote, liberal Democrats, they're not going to learn. And a lot of them are going to just go shift more white, honestly.
Right.
And the thing is, that's not what you need to do, because you know what? You'll never win again if you do that. Because if you do what Bernie Sanders did, you won't win.
Right.
You will not win ever.
But I agree. And the point is though, white liberals keep listening to this because white Democrats essentially want to go back to the old playbook.
Right.
Which is, let's gravitate towards the center. Regardless of how people feel about Hillary Clinton, regardless of how they feel. She ran a very left-leaning campaign. The problem is Bernie Sanders is even more left and people don't like Hillary Clinton. So people went, well, that's the real liberal. But her shit was liberal as fuck too. You know, her $12 or $13 minimum wage hike was just as fucking wild as to a lot of Americans as the 15, like they were like, who gives a fuck? I don't want either of them to be able to hike up minimum wage, period, at all. You know, her supportive, you know, saying stuff like white supremacy is real and fucking, you know, racism, structural racism, institutional racism is real. These are things that, you know, no candidate comes up and says. You're not supposed to do that. So it's funny that coming off of the heels of that and Bernie campaigning to the left of her, his solution is let's go to the right of her and get back the racist white vote. Everybody's fave, quote unquote, which is what you always say. I'm on Twitter. I think that's what you have to say before you go in on somebody. You have to call them everybody's fave. But everybody's fave, Joe Biden, just did a couple interviews, you know, and I was looking at some of the things he said, and it's like, what are you talking about, dog? You know, first of all, there was, you know, Jeff Sessions, who Joe Biden would not support as a federal judge because he basically said he was racist. But now Jeff Sessions, of course, has been chosen to be Donald Trump's like attorney general or something, and now Biden's willing to give him a second chance. I wouldn't have appointed Jeff, but people learn, people change.
He had,
right? Like, what about him has he learned and changed? What, not to say it as loud anymore, you know? Like, but that's, these are people that people were like, I will vote for him, he would have won, he would have got my vote. You know, he gave an interview today, I think, where he talked about why Hillary Clinton lost, right? It was with the Los Angeles Times. He said he noticed issues with Clinton's campaign early in the election. And he said, I believe that we were not letting an awful lot of people, high school educated, mostly Caucasian, but also people of color, know that we understood their problems. And he actually said, and I don't know why they took this quote out, but he also went on to say that racism isn't why we lost, because those people, they weren't racist. They're just, you know, basically they're just some misunderstood people, you know? And it's like, but bro, where is this coming from? You know, like, I can't look to you as any type of leadership either, you know? Like,
yep.
Essentially, as long as Democrats are unwilling to say the tough shit, then it's not gonna happen. Yeah, it says, they're all the people I grew up with, they're their kids, they're not racist, they're not sexist, but we didn't talk to them. Okay, so basically it's everything but what black people and brown people are saying. It's everything but that, right? It's everything but that. A guy who campaigned on building a wall to keep immigrants out and putting them back to their country. A guy who campaigned on literally wanting internment camps for Muslims would not rule it out. Literally said he would not rule it out. A guy who campaigned on bringing stop and frisk to a nationwide platform. Police just randomly stopping black people and going through our belongings and shit, because hey, we might have a gun, even though it's proven unconstitutional and not to work. That's the guy, you know what I mean? That's the guy that you want to put, that you want to say that no, racism played no part in the people that made a decision to vote for this man, you know? This, you know, but that's, you know, that's just typical, man. So anyway, 100 for Joe.
But when he run next time, none of this gonna be bought up, right? He's still gonna be your fave.
Yeah, he still might run in 2020, man, you know? And I'm not, here's the thing, I'm pragmatic. If the motherfucker run in 2020, I'm gonna vote for him over Trump. Like, I'm not, like, I want people to understand that I'm staying morally consistent on this shit, which is, end of the day, it ain't about me. It ain't even about these motherfuckers being perfect. Perfection is really silly to expect from any person.
Correct.
But what I can say is, I know what is a better alternative, and I'm going to vote because I always vote. And when I vote, I will probably vote for a Democrat as long as they are less problematic than a Republican. That's really a simple equation for me. But yeah, Joe Biden is not this beacon of perfection that people painted him out to be just so that they could shit on Hillary Clinton. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. There's nobody that's been in politics in America for a long period of time that doesn't have their hands dirty when it comes to racial shit at some point. It's just impossible, you know. What else would make me feel fucked with? Oh, black piece of shit. Motorist hit with racial slurs after declining to help a stranded Trump supporter. You wonder why.
Wonder why
I didn't stop. First of all, take that upon yourself. Y'all here wearing that Make America Great Again. Make your car start again, nigga. I will ride right by you. Turn my heat up. Slow down. Roll the window down. Let the heat hit you in your face in that snow. Yeah, according to the Kansas City Star, Troy Brown spotted the other car stuck in a snowbank December 13th and was on his way to help when he spotted the vehicle owner's sticker proclaiming their support for the Republican nominee. I was going to help her, but she had a hashtag Trump sticker on her car. Hashtag call your president. Wrote Brown on Facebook post. A video of him driving past the stalled out vehicle. Commenters piled on. Some expressed support and approval. Others to condemn Brown hurled insults, many of which, thanks to Brown being a black man, was racially charged. He also left a comment on his post that said, a list of people Trump supporters can call for help. One, yo president. He spelled it Y-O president. Two, ExxonMobil CEO. Three, General Flynn's son. Four, the gunman at Comet Pizza in D.C. Wow, pretty low and move, and to brag, lol, I'm sorry your morals are so misguided, complained one commenter. Piece of black shit, another one called him. One angry white commenter said, proof this man never made it past sixth grade. All lives matter shit face boy. What? That sounds like a sixth grade insult. With no apparent regard for punctuation. One reader wrote, and that's what's wrong with people nowadays. I was raised to help everyone in need, no matter what. But what do I know? I'm just a gun owning patriotic America. You, sir, are a piece of shit. Others were supportive of Brown. She would have called the police if you had got out and approached to help.
You don't know. I'm not trying to be funny. You don't know. Yeah. You have no. She'd have thought you trying to rob her. She might have shot you. You don't know.
Yeah. I can't wait to ignore a Trump supporter in distress. Ugh, you're so lucky, said another supporter. Others posted thumbs up and happy face emojis. Young himself marveled at the size of the brouhaha in a comment on another post, writing, so many personal feelings that have been released into the atmosphere. Hashtag call your president. Oh, man.
That's right. Call your president. Because they want to tat around and jump up on planes. Trump! Well, then, okay. All right, then.
Yeah, I feel
hope y'all know a lot of people didn't vote for him and don't care.
Yeah, I feel zero fucked with by that. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's like if you have a Confederate flag on your vehicle. I'm liable to ride past your ass, too.
Right. And if my car's stranded, keep driving. It's cool. AAA on the way.
Yes,
I don't need the Confederate flag truck stopping to help me. I'm actually quite good with it, bro.
Yes, I am.
You know, this is something that this next article, it's a little bit kind of, it's taken me a while to really get to this point, but I do want to express this as a counterpoint, because I was reading this on theroot.com. A guy named Daniel Johnson wrote, the blackwashing of President Obama's legacy. We cannot gloss over President Barack Obama's flaws simply so that we can hold on tightly to his blackness. And while I agree, I just want to say, I agree that you can just as easily point out, like, he wasn't a perfect president. He wasn't able to stop everything and stuff. I don't think that's really what this kind of this person's talking about, and I don't think that's what a lot of people are talking about, because a lot of these people are naysayers from jump, and they want to find a way to say I'm right and to discredit President Obama's legacy and the work that he was able to do and the things he was able to accomplish and the unprecedented opposition that he faced, and the unprecedented racism and death threats that he faced. They want to discount all of that so they can just act like being president is like running your Facebook page, where you get to say whatever the fuck you want and pretty much go unchallenged or block, delete, move on. You know, your solutions are always the best solutions because fuck everybody else.
But that's how Trump can run, though. We'll see how that motto rolls.
No, it won't be the same as Trump, because Trump has the support of his party. Regardless of how it looks, he has his house, he'll have his Supreme Court, and he's gonna have his Senate, which is different than what Obama faced. So it's not like, it might look like he's just going, I'm doing what I want. No, there are people that are gonna make sure that what he wants gets done, which is different, because people wanted Obama to rule by fiat that way, and like, just, I'm gonna do this. But when everybody's like, fuck you, including some Democrats, including liberal ass Bernie Sanders, what the fuck are you supposed to do? You know what I mean? When every idea you have is, you know, immediately just slammed down and told no matter what. I mean, I don't even know what Republicans are going to do when Obama's done and they don't have him as a guy for what to be against every day. Cause pretty much like he gets up, he's like, look, we need to support the fact that there's going to need to be a settlement, and Israel needs to understand that peace is the best solution, da da da. And then they just, Republicans wake up, no, fuck that, nope, it's not, that's the opposite, I disagree. You know, if he wakes,
yeah, they gonna be looking on their Congress Twitter timeline going, ain't shit popping today. Mm-mm. Ain't nothing gonna be popping in there. Y'all all gonna be agreeing with each other.
What y'all gonna be like? It's almost scarier knowing that they don't really have a plan. They've only had one singular focus for 8 years, which is to be against everything he does, which is different, you know. Anyway, I want to read this because like I said, the way I'm feeling about it right now, it fucks with me. Okay. There is a deeply embedded danger in the collective Black American consciousness to defend the cultural and political Blackness of President Barack Obama. On the surface, his very presence in the Oval Office is an act of political revolution, an unprecedented response to the nation's inherent anti-Blackness. But when his destructive neoliberal politics prioritize white Americans and his personal politics seem to pathologize Blackness, what then is revolution? Right then I would start with, who said that electing Barack Obama was going to be a revolution? Like, it's stuff like the preposition, the positioning Black people who voted for Barack Obama as people that voted for him under the guise of he was going to be a revolutionary figure for Blackness from the Oval Office, is, that's harmful and dangerous as well. Because if you ask the vast majority of Black people, they approve of his job that he did and his rating. Most and their people. Expectations were not some like, and he gonna get in there and we gonna be marching. Like, that wasn't what people were, that's not what he sold as a candidate, and it's not what people expected from the candidate.
I don't know what people heard, but they didn't hear, I don't know, they didn't.
You know, it's fine for you to be Black and feel some kind of way about him, right. But just recognize you don't represent the majority of Black Americans, and it seems that you're assuming a lot about Black people that is kind of dangerous and harmful. Like, Black people got suckered or
tricked.
Like, you're trying to position yourself as above and more woke than and more pro Black than everybody else, and that shit is kind of whack to me. You know what I mean? Like, one of the things I've had to, and I think it took a while for me to get there. I mean, I'm almost 40, but one of the things I had to understand is that part of loving Black people is understanding Black people and listening to Black people, understand the conditions that the hand we were dealt here. And part of that love is not just trying to be above, because I think that's anti-Blackness too. And I think it's taught in us to position ourselves as Black people to say, I am that talented 10th. I am the other Black people are quote unquote regular, and me, I'm ahead of y'all. Y'all are some suckers. Y'all are some sheep, and I'm the wokest one. You know, I'm the real pro Black, and I'm gonna Black check your pro Blackness, and I'm, you know, that kind of thing. And it's difficult to walk that fine line of still having love for people while being like, you know, I feel like we can be better in this area or whatever. But some of this shit is just blatant misrepresentations of Blackness, and it's kind of infuriating, you know? This black family in the White House, while certainly a switch from the lily white inhabitants of the past years, is only a cosmetic kind of revolution. They just look different from the Clintons and the Bushes and the Kennedys. They exist in a space that both challenges white power and solidifies it. So essentially, they might as well be a white family, as far as this guy is concerned. In Ta-Nehisi Coates' recent piece for The Atlantic, he does an excellent job positioning the racial nuance of President Obama's past with his centering of whiteness. Obama himself acknowledges that his working assumption of white benevolence is different from First Lady Michelle Obama's baseline, and that has been evident these past 8 years in his willingness to openly castigate and patronize black people, the demographic that has remained the most supportive of him despite being neglected and ignored by our black president.
So you making assumptions right there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that our demographic was neglected and ignored.
Me either.
And I feel like that's a blatant misrepresentation. You know, I feel like the Justice Department being involved in these racially charged cases where they take like police departments to task and investigate them and shit, I feel like that's not ignoring, you know.
My brother's keeper.
Yeah, I don't feel like my brother's keeper is ignoring. I don't feel like talking about Trayvon Martin is ignoring. I don't feel like explaining that Black Lives Matter isn't only Black Lives Matter is ignoring. Like, I don't, like, I think what happens is if he's not in lockstep with everything that you say on your Twitter feed, then it's just like, you fucking coon ass, da 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 da. Because that's how we measure blackness now. You have to agree with everything, fucking thing that comes out of our mouths.
Nobody will.
Right. Whereas I think my understanding, I think a lot of black people's understanding of the office of president is that it's really about mitigating harm. It's not actually one of revolution. It's not one of anti-establishment. No, it's the establishment. And the most a good person can do in these government positions is kind of mitigate the harm that the government can do. That's about it. Like, it's not really a big list, you know. It's not a lot of options when you're the president of a country that has 200-400 years worth of racism, and then it's like, now fix this in 8, you know what I mean, as the country goes on to elect the most racist president, you know. Like, it's like it's, you know, as the country doesn't give you a house in the Congress to work with for the next six of the 8 years, you know, that kind of thing, where we like people talk a good game, but that's not what this country really is. That being said, I feel like it's a complete misrepresentation to say that he has neglected and ignored black people. And I say that as a person that I don't like when the president brings up you know, things like the lack of fathers in the black community, or challenges black people, black men specifically, to be fathers and whatnot to their kids and to work hard and all that stuff. And like, I don't particularly like when black people do that, because it assumes like a level of like maybe we aren't doing those things. But I also want to be 100% real. My father talks like that, you know. Black people I love talk like that, and it's not on some like, because respectability will save you, but it's because of the scars they have. Barack Obama wasn't raised by his father. His father wasn't in his life. That shit sticks with people forever, you know. Some people I love, people are, you know, my close friends, they don't know their fathers. Their father wasn't around, or their father didn't do enough for them, or their father didn't do shit, you know. Like, they know him, but the motherfucker didn't, he was never in their lives. And when you go to our communities and you talk to our leaders, a lot of times those are the things that the community stresses are problematic for, like, right. things that are within our control are, and things that are problematic for us as a community, those are things that we often stress, which is like, listen, black men need to step up and take care of their responsibilities. And I've said it before on this show, and I'm fine with not fitting the mold of, you know, the perfect liberal black person, but I do think black men have a responsibility to father their children. And I do think that we often, casually pass that shit over in a world where we look at our own oppression, and we go, well, look how tough the world is. How am I supposed to raise my kid if they trying to put me in prison and I'm underemployed? And it's like, I understand, but your children, you brought your children into this world as well. And you're responsible for their well-being.
Yes.
And you do need to be there. It's not okay to just say, like, I remember when Ayanla had that fucking special about the black dudes who came in and was like, you know, they wasn't being fathers because, you know, the mama of my child is a bitch. And it's just so hard for me. You know, it's hard to get a job. And I just don't want to deal with this stuff. And I was young. And it's every fucking excuse other than raising your goddamn children. You know, so I understand that people don't like to hear that shit. And that you definitely don't want a president saying that to our community, especially at a Morehouse graduation. So I understand why people would be totally turned off by that. This isn't excusing that, but at the same way I can't just excuse that, I also can't pretend that that's not a real issue in our community that we find taboo to talk about, because we always worried about how fragile black men are gonna be and feel if they're not totally uplifted and codified at every fucking moment. You know, we don't do that with black women.
Oh, everything's your fault.
Yeah.
Black women never get the benefit of the doubt. Black women never get the benefit of doubt. We never can come up with excuses. We never get coddled. We never get cared for. We never get compassion. We don't get empathy. We don't get sympathy. When it comes to black women, everything falls on you. Even me walking away from you by my own choice falls on you.
Yeah, if you have a child with a dude and he leaves, that's your fault. If you have a child with a dude and you leave him, that's your fault.
Right.
If you know, meanwhile, black women continue, you know, most educated, most starting the most businesses, like all these positive things that they're able to get out of life while also being burdened by racism and also being burdened by misogyny, and yet somehow they achieve, and then we still turn around and we feel badly for anyone who says black men can do better, which I think is some bullshit. But the point being, a nigga that don't have a look, no, you know, the president, a nigga that don't have a father, that didn't have a father around, he might think fatherhood and that mentorship and whatnot is a bigger key to our community when talking to our community than maybe somebody else would. And I know a lot of dudes that have fathers, myself included, that's some level of privilege that we don't really view as privilege, but it right. absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, a lot of times we are the ones who bristle at this idea that you would say something, but we're bristling from our fucking ivory tower of having fathers that are involved in our lives. So it's easy for us to be like, yeah, nigga, why you always bringing that shit up? You know, cause when he goes and looks at these, cause I actually, when I see people talking about this shit, it reminds me to go check some of the initiatives, you know, and I went to go check my brother's keeper, and I look on that site and I see those black faces, and I see those stories, and I see those communities that have written the president and said, these are the things we need to help, the corporations that we need to put billions of dollars back into this community, a community where people take and give us the shit, you know. And when I see that shit, and you can't deny it, like it's easy to talk about it on some philosophical shit because you're not there. But when this motherfucker's in these communities talking to these kids to their face, and these kids are telling them what they need,
he's seeing the real tears,
and he's seeing the pain and the impact that some of this shit has in a land of nothing but hard choices for black people. Sometimes the hard choice is you need to raise your fucking kid, and there's no excuse. Sometimes that's just the hard choice, and it fucking sucks. But of the alternatives, the unforgivable sin of just completely not raising your kid is worse. You know, none of the systemic issues that affect our community that make it different, and I understand that. I'm not saying the incarceration rate, over policing, underemployment, I'm not saying these things are non-factors, but some of this shit comes down to just the choice you have to make every day to get up and be in your kid's life, you know, like some of it's just that, some of it is just that. And what happens is a lot of niggas are so fragile and they are so hurt that he would dare say that in the public in America to us, that is a complete turnoff. And no, I don't think Morehouse graduation is the right place to give that speech, but I also don't think that speech is so fucking ridiculous as people try to put it. You know, I don't find that shit to be so unneeded. Some motherfuckers need to hear that shit. You know what I mean? Like, these cycles have to be broken, and we know it's cyclical. We know the pain is cyclical. We know we passed that down. So many fathers I know that are good fathers because they other because they daddy wasn't shit. That is a common fucking story for us. You know, like that is, you know, and fathers I know that are, you know, and I know a lot of good fathers. Like, this isn't even trying to say like only black people with bad fathers. No, I'm just saying of the shit in our community, one of the issues to tackle might be that fatherhood shit. But I think motherfuckers took it so harsh because we take any level of niggas need to do better hard. But sometimes when it comes from within the community to the community in a level of trust, I find like it's not that bad. You know, that's my personal feelings. And I don't think it comes from a bad place. But all that being said, I look at that program and I'm like, yeah, he helping. You know, while it's easy to sit online and write your article and talk shit, he helped. Tell those kids that he didn't help. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to be like, oh, this nigga talking about some, I mean, his plan looks down on these kids and then it says they need mentors. And nigga, sometimes you do. You don't know no nigga that don't need a, you don't know niggas that don't, that just needed a chance, somebody to believe in them, somebody to put a battery in their back, somebody to put some money in their motherfucking investing in their future. You don't know people like that? Somebody just need a chance to go to college? You don't, a program? You don't know people like that? Who the fuck are you? So that's the shit that bothers me when people come at the president like that, because a lot of times they essentially shit on those efforts and then turn around and say things such as being, despite being neglected and ignored, which is not true. So it's okay, like, if we're gonna critique this man and his legacy, let's just keep it in perspective, because there's a way to critique somebody and I go, yeah, you're right, you know, like, he maybe he could have done more, you know. But there's also a way to, but I think when people do that, it takes away the power that they feel they have in feeling above certain type of black folks. You know, like, I've seen what happens when motherfuckers fall out and, you know, the next thing, the first thing we go to is the black checking. You know, you got a white significant other, you got a white parent, you got, you know, it's like a way to just like come in at people because we're hurt and we lash out. And I feel like a lot of this has been that, you know, with the, when we get to the, oh, so cause the nigga can sing Amazing Grace, y'all just act like he the blackest nigga ever. It's like, that's not really what black people did. Black people didn't go, I'm only voting for him cause he sang Amazing Grace. Why are you, you don't see the anti-blackness in positioning our black vote that way? The idea that we're not informed, that we're just easily tricked by parlor tricks, you that's what you think of us as your fellow black people? That's insulting as fuck. You know, I'd rather you think that we're all fucking evil, ill-intended people that worship white people than to think this shit, because black people aren't stupid. You can't write for the root and where black people read your shit and you just looking for those, that 10% that to be like, mm-hmm, in the comments. It's so insulting, man. During a time of escalating state-sanctioned violence, President Obama has repeatedly placed the onus on black protesters to be docile and be peaceable and agreeable. Black protesters who are responding to militarized police forces as powerful as any insurgent army in occupied Iraq have largely been positioned as the problem to be solved. President Obama, and I've noted this on the show more than once, when he comes out and talks after there's like a riot or looting or something like that, it's really like motherfuckers want him to be like, I'ma just ignore that. Cause he'll come out in the same place. I'm like, police need to, you know, police need to look for peaceful solutions. Police need to not do this. They need to not escalate them. We need to make sure that they're not out there doing this. And protesters, he actually normally starts a protest. He's like, we don't want people burning or destroying property. None of that's going to help. And people are like, how dare he? What the fuck would you say? You're the president of this nation. Last night is 44 hours of a city on fire, looped over and over on TV, and then you got to come give a speech. Hey, man, sometimes niggas got to burn some shit. No, that's what we get to say. I get to say that on our podcast. I get to say that on my Twitter account. You get to say that on your social media. The fucking president of the United States does not get to say that. And you guys know that. But yet you position this shit like, yeah, how dare he scold these protesters? It was that or nothing. It was that or nothing. He can't go out there and give a speech to America and go, listen, man, I know y'all saw that shit burning, but don't pay no attention. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, it's such an unrealistic idea to expect it. And it's also an unrealistic position to think that somebody would hold. The vast majority of us, by the way, say the same shit, but we don't put it that, like, we go, well, of course they shouldn't be burning shit, but anyway, man, no, niggas was mad and they be over hyping how much the shit got burned, and like, but we do all hit the, like, well, of course that's not gonna help, you know what I mean? And then we also say the same, it's not the same people, you know, which is something I've heard him say, like, it's not the same, like, those people out there that were looting and stuff, that's not the protesters. But it doesn't matter because we mad and he the president, so he got to take these L's, you know. We are at war, but Obama made it clear to Coates that he's hurt by the seemingly uninformed expectations of Black and Latinx activists who don't understand how difficult it is for him to navigate through the constraints of on the office. Yeah, he's a human being. He's probably hurt. Y'all same way that y'all hurt. Y'all writing about him, and he probably reads this shit and thinks, y'all really think if I couldn't do better, I wouldn't? You know? This is why the mere appearance of Blackness is not sufficient, especially when the egregious human rights violations in Flint, Michigan continue to occur on his watch. Okay. Obama's Blackness cannot shield him.
Shit that started way before he ever took office?
I don't know how informed this person is, but I mean, they literally just passed that bill to have some money to revamp their water system. I don't think it was enough money for the record. It more was proposed, but that occurred on his watch before this article went to print, and it's not mentioned. Cause it's just easier to blame him for everything. Because, like, he's sitting in a tower like fucking Sauron and just manipulating every single action. Like, mm-hmm, yes, less clean water. Oh, yes. Oh, please, cop, shoot some more Black people. Thank you. Yes, it's from me, Mr. Obama. I'm just letting you know to shoot some more people. Like, but that's, you know, it's cool because, like I said, and this guy goes on to explain it. Essentially, people like this, and I think there's a lot of people getting their kicks on the way out, they were anti-Obama the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know, he talks about his father, who supported President Obama, and how, you know, and maybe it's a different article, but there's like, you know, like, my father was so excited about this president being Black, but you know what? I knew he was gonna be fucked up, and that's why I couldn't wait to point it out. It's like, okay, all right, it's cool. Like, I don't know what you have to say, but it's kind of interesting because, like I said, I've arrived to a point where I realized that in its way, this shit is anti-Black too, because it's beyond holding someone accountable to just trying to blame somebody, and specifically because they're Black. So essentially, you held him to standards you wouldn't other presidents because of his Blackness. And then you decide to put blinders on to the historical opposition that he faced, and the obstructionism that he faced. And then to top it all off, you essentially blame Black voters for feeling supportive of this man, because we have some kinship in his blackness, where we go, oh yeah, I go to my job and I have to deal with bullshit and racism and shit. And maybe part of me feels like he has to navigate that world as well. So we understand, like, yo, you can't get everything you want and everything done, when half this fucking country is just completely against you. You know? So I think it's weird that, that people would do this under the auspices of, cause I'm so pro-black. You know? Like, that's not really, like I said, the place I'm at in my life right now, that ain't pro-black either. That's anti-black too. You know, this walking around calling other black people sheep and shit. You know, these, the insults and the pejorative, basically mocking black people that supported the president. That shit's ridiculous. And I know people want to get their kicks in because they feel like, well, I've been mocked because I've been against this nigga the whole time. Cool. That, congratulations, you'll have your platforms, but just understand that when people look back and go, you sound fucking ridiculous, don't be mad, because you do sound fucking ridiculous. You know, because there's an understanding within the community that whenever we vote, throughout the history of voting, throughout the history of politics, black people have always, when we had the ability to vote, had to vote for the lesser of two evils, and it will continue to be so until the day we all die. Period. In this country. And that's just a realism and a pragmatism that we have as a people that I think many of us have arrived at, and those who are holdout are kind of trying to lord over us like somehow they've achieved this ninth circle of fucking enlightenment that nobody else has. And newsflash, nigga, you're not new, you're not special, you're not different, you're the same as the rest of us. You're trying to navigate this racist ass country and find ways to cope, and maybe your coping mechanism is being the wokest and shitting on all the black people that voted for this man, and shitting on President Obama and calling his family just a whatever the fuck you called them, where you said they basically were a white family and in the White House. It's you, and maybe it's not us. You know, and maybe you need to dial that shit down a little bit, you know, because when you so woke that you out black and black people, you ain't woke at all, dog. Like, you ain't, you're doing it wrong. You know, when the love isn't there for us, for all of us, then you're doing it wrong. You know, like, some of y'all motherfuckers sound like black Republicans in your wokeness. You know, it's like that Green Party shit with motherfuckers, black people that support the Green Party, but then overlook the shortcomings of the Green Party on race just so they can say, but at least I'm not with you other niggas, cause y'all are sheep on the plantation. Oh, you know who else thinks that? Ben Carson thinks that. You know what I mean? Like, it's super frustrating to deal with. And all that to say this, I know that that shit still comes from the same hurt and the same pain that I experience, that Karen experiences, that other black people in this country experience, and I still got love for you. You know, even with all that, like, we fundamentally disagree, but we all in pain and we're all kind of lashing out. But it, you know, I don't think that this shit is going to resonate with a lot of people, because people, black people anyway, still understand the scope and the magnitude of the opposition the man had to deal with. So while you might feel better to say these things, and it might make you feel more woke, and you get to be the person that, I'm so woke, I hate Obama, that's cool, man. You know, that's fine. But at the same time, real recognize real, man. So people recognize that phony ass see-through shit that certain people have kind of clicked up on, people recognize that too. You know, if that what makes you feel superior as a black person, cool. But a lot of y'all go to work every day and you have to compromise some level of the shit that you deal with as a black person. You have to compromise for whether it's your own health, your own safety, or your own experiences, you know. And keep in mind, President Obama is not a person that necessarily received the shit end of whiteness in the way that we have. Not that he didn't receive any of it, but until he was really president, a lot of white people in his life that intervened were helpful. So his optimism in whiteness is grounded in experience that many of us do not share. So to him, I think that's the fascinating thing about him, and it's the reason that he gets to be president and niggas like us don't. You know what I mean? Like, it, the level of optimism you would need to have in this country as a black person to be president of this country is shit, it's Obama level. It's no other word for it. That might as well be a fucking word itself. It's impossible to be president of this country and not have an unshakable faith that white people in general can overcome their base nature and support and learn to not be racist in a country that is founded on racism. It's the only fucking way. It's, you know, it's like he's a Jackie Robinson of presidents, and I think time will lend deference to that, that the hot takeification of the internet will not right now. You know, like, it'll be what the lessons that kids learn will be the things that change the world because he was president. It won't be because it won't be us. It won't be 40-year-old people learning from this guy's presidency. That wasn't what this presidency was about. You know, and I think when people see what happens in the aftermath with this Trump administration, it's going to make him look a lot more attractive to certain people. But I feel like the people that kind of got to play the outside and take shots at the president for 8 years, they'll be kind of thankful because now they have something else to take shots at, you know, because they were going to take shots at no matter what happened. If Clinton would have won, they would have been talking about how she was the fucking worst and the same as Trump. You know, that's what many were planning on doing anyway. And if, you know, if now that Trump is, now they get to literally say this guy's the worst, and it means something because he is. But in a way, it means nothing because we're going to be powerless for 8 years, 4 to 8 years in this country, the way most people sound like they're talking. So anyway, man, and I know there's probably people listening to this that disagree with this right now, whatever, and I'll be your coon, Uncle Tom sellout, whatever the fuck y'all need me to be. But I don't find this shit to be this woker than thou approach to talking about politics to be any fucking level of helpful at all, you know, especially when you're looking at black voters like we the problem. Fuck you. Sincerely, fuck you. You know what I mean? It's not enough of us already to change shit, but to fucking vilify or to come at black people for being supportive of the Democratic president like we always the fuck are, in a country where if we did something else, it wouldn't change anything except the Republican would get elected. You can go fuck yourself. Because this pie in the sky philosophy and fantasy shit that y'all are like, all this, hey man, we can just get 5% to the Green Party, ain't helping nobody though. That's just another set of white people that want to get helped, that want to put themselves first, you know. And we ain't starting no blackety black party. The green, look, the collard green party is not getting started. I would love for it to start, but we know we don't have the numbers for that shit. The
green bean party.
Yeah, it'd just be 13% of black people over there fucking voting by ourselves, and we know that shit. So, you know, I don't think revolution or whatever is getting solved through the government anyway. I don't think that's how it's going to happen. But at the same time, I know there's good people in politics that have done as much as they can to either help or mitigate harm. And I think Barack Obama is one of those people. And I think the nature of the office is you are going to be responsible for the deaths of people. You're going to be responsible for a bunch of evil fucked up shit because of the nature of the office. And it's been a pleasure to have that person be at least thoughtful in for 8 years, and we're gonna miss that. Anyway, let me start the next session because I saw I went too long, sorry about that. But but yeah man, it's just, and I mean, I know this is just a small percentage of black people that really feel this way, but I feel like a lot of us are like the silent majority on this shit, you know. And we get shamed and insecure about our own blackness because we don't want to be like, well, I think you're wrong, and I think you're targeting the president out of some sort of blackness competition, some black off shit too. And we don't want to sound like, well, I don't care about black people. Like, nah, I do. And I think he did. And I think he did the best he could. But I also don't think that anyone can take that job and turn it into fucking, woke City Central. I just don't think it's going to happen. You know, maybe somebody will come along and prove everybody wrong. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe somebody will find a way to get elected in a country full of racist white people and then get to the office and be like, I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all. Maybe somebody will find a way. I don't think it's happening. You know, and I don't know why anyone that knows the history of America would think that that was going to happen. I mean, shit, if we being honest, none of us thought a nigga was getting elected in the first place. He's so good, we have taken it for granted at this point. That's how good he is. He's so good, we've literally just been like, well, of course. He's so good, we thought Hillary Clinton was getting elected. Every poll said that woman was getting elected. That's how good he is. He's that good. He's so good, people completely ignored that for 6 years, Democrats lost footing in this country for 6 of the 8 years he was in office. From the second he took office, Democrats started losing their foothold in every election around this country. And he's so good, Democrats thought they were winning. He's so good, Democrats ran away from him in 2012, thinking that was a way to win. This is like, it's insane how good he is. It's insane how great his family is. Scandal free. 8 years. You know, look like they still fucking in the White House. I mean, it's they're exemplary in a lot of areas, and that's cool if you want to say, look, all the country's good. It's like quarterback. All the country's good, all the country's bad, you get credit for it. That's cool if you want to say they get credit for all the country's bad and they ain't shit. Just bring up all the country's good too, because it's about to get real bad. It's about to get even worse. And I want to see you keep up the fucking consistency. That's all. Cause a lot of motherfuckers about to die off and quiet down. You know, we about to see a lot less of Cornel West and Tavis Smiley in these tours and shit. We about to see a lot less of Killer Mike, y'all. We about to see a lot less. Y'all do realize that, right? Motherfuckers that rode to prominence are about to be a lot less. You know, and I hate to keep going in, man, but I actually have more to say. In a large part, a lot of this shit is also shitting on black women for electing this man. Because you talk about, well, black people are so loyal. No, what you really mean, black women are loyal to the Democratic Party. And black women voted for this man at like a fuck. It was some crazy, like 98% clip. And black women hold position in his cabinet and his positions in the White House. You know, you have like Valerie Jarrett and Loretta Lynch and all this shit. A lot of this shit is about the fact that black women did this shit. And that's one of the reasons you mostly see black men pulling the I'm so woke that I think the president's a coon and, you know, fuck him and that family. They ain't nothing but white people to me and shit. Like, when you see those staunch critics, those that have risen to prominence over the last 8 years as black people, it's mostly black men. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a coincidence that I can rattle off Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, Mark Lamont Hill, Killer Mike. It's not a coincidence that it's so easy to rattle off the list of people that fucking don't fuck with the president and don't fuck with whoever black women pick. Yeah, I'm going. It's not a coincidence, you know, because essentially black women make this choice at the box office, or box office, at the voter's box, at the ballot box, the box office, to go see Will Smith. Nah, but, you know, essentially black women are the ones that make that choice every year, to decide who's going to be the Democratic candidate, you know, and I think a lot of the rejection of this is partially, fueled by the fact that black women are making this choice. And of course, we as, you know, America in general, but, you know, black men in particular, you know, we feel like we can dictate down to y'all what y'all need to be doing.
Come on.
You know, what y'all need to do is vote for this, that, and the other. It's like,
because you want to control shit.
Yeah, I don't find it to be a coincidence. All that being said, man, I don't think I just wish that people would stop misrepresenting black people, because the vast majority of black people would tell you, I don't think the president was perfect. I don't think the man is without flaws. I don't agree with him on everything. The vast majority of black people would say that, and they would still vote for him tomorrow because he's a better choice of all the other choices. And if you lose that part of the discussion, then it's not an objective discussion. It's a loaded discussion if we don't bring up the alternatives. You know, because it's not like John McCain was gonna be doing my brothers anything for no niggas. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he was gonna be commuting sentences for no niggas. You know, it's just so easy with it's just really disheartening, man, because we've been so hurt that it's obvious we have to come at him because he's black. It's sad that it's that obvious, but anyway, all right, 100 for me. Sorry I talked so long, Karen. I'm so sorry. I just been thinking about this for days, literally. Like, I read two of these pieces and I was just like, what the fuck, man? You know what I mean? What the fuck? You know, and of course it's by people that's like, I never liked that nigga anyway. You know, it's just, okay, man. I hope you feel better, man. I hope you feel more woke than everybody and you figured the whole game out. We all stupid pieces of shit. You got it, dog. All the other black people just sheep and we dumb. And we ride for that coon Obama, right? And you perfect and you never done shit. Got it, dog. Speaking of being fucked with, I don't know if you guys heard this yet, but 0 to 100, obviously. Never decide to start playing. To 100, Karen. Mm-mm. That's not a score.
You get a 1,000,000,000. Play the original, because I see some people saying they haven't never heard the original.
Oh, well, obviously they don't hang around the chat room before we start the show. Way to tell on yourselves, everybody.
This is Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I'm about to play it. Yeah, it's
don't do this when you can't even sing the original lyrics. You ain't got no business remaking this song and acoustifying it.
nigga wait for some so long, nigga. Don't go wrong.
I'm wishing I can make this mine. Oh,
if you want it,
yay.
You can have it.
Oh, oh, oh.
If you need it,
ooh, we can make it.
Oh, if you want it, you can have it. Now stay woke, niggas creeping, they gon' find you, gon' catch you sleeping. Oh, now stay woke, niggas creeping, niggas creeping, not people, not you make a person wanna, niggas. Okay, guys, 0 to 100, Karen.
Motherfucking song. These always get 100 to me. Don't do this shit. Go, y'all got plenty of other shit y'all can remake.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100. I don't know why this fuck with me as much as Neil and that nigga was talking about Obama. I don't know. I was like, that what? Why? We don't need this.
Right? Nobody. Who? And I guess my question is, white people, who asked for this? Go get your people.
We don't need
for this, y'all.
Put your guitars away.
Put your acoustics away.
Sometimes people make shit for black people and they don't have you in mind, and it's
right.
Cool.
You do not have to be the center of every fucking thing that happens.
Sometimes you just have to sit back like, oh, you know what?
That ain't for me.
This is not for me. There's plenty of other stuff I can pull my guitar out and remix, and this is not one of them. If you can't even say the words.
Right.
You come on.
Say the words, dog.
Come on, man. I thought this was over. What happened? Why is this still allowed to continue in America? This is a great crisis. You know who I blame for this? Obama. Why didn't he pass legislation against white women and acoustic guitars so that they couldn't get their webcams and start remixing black songs? We knew Formation was a bridge too far, but in Obama's America, it was allowed to continue.
Come on.
Too worried about black people not being fathers. Need be worried about white women not being musicians with these guitars.
Come on, dog. Don't even sound like the same goddamn song. Get out of here.
Who told them this is cute?
Right.
Ugh. Disgust me.
Right. And people listening to that shit probably never heard the original song.
I saw the comments, man. It look, GTBW, because the motherfucking comments are all like, "You, what kind of guitar is that? Oh, you know, I love your vocals. A little too much reverb, but I was a fan." You know, nobody, like, I don't know if she deleted the comments of people or just it's only 10,000 views, so maybe not enough people hit her with the... Why are you singing this? Just why? Just why?
Who asked for this?
Yeah. Did nobody else come out with it? Did Ariana Grande come out with nothing this week? There's nothing you could remix that didn't have an N-word in all the songs on the album. You could, you know what? Just leave them alone. Leave all the songs alone. I was going to say do another one. No, Leave them all alone. Because they all black as fuck.
Don't do this. Don't do Kendrick Lamar. Just stop it. Just
when you got
it.
The yams. What's the yams?
Right.
Like, why do y'all keep doing? You're only embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, power that beat. What the fuck? Get out of here, dog. That's not how that song goes.
The people in the comments just supporting this bullshit.
When you got the yams. What's the yams?
Kendrick never gonna bring you up on stage with him, dog.
Ever.
What are you doing?
He got professional singers for a reason, dog.
This is blacks only shit. Leave it alone. Good God. All right, next. Oh, there was a road rage incident that went awry.
Shattered glass, racial slurs, and speed, all of it part of a case of road rage. Local police are now investigating. New at 9, Fox 23's Jonathan McCulson.
Just take the entire video. It's cool.
For us, Muskogee with the details.
Yeah, this definitely could have a much different outcome. Clay, Rhonda Jones says she had no idea that she was being followed all through Muskogee until she got here to this Walgreens, where she says that she was attacked by that other driver and she says that this will happen in a matter of seconds.
Just thought maybe he was just coming the same way we were.
But instead, Rhonda Johnson says a driver she came across on the Bogey Turn Monday afternoon followed her with a vengeance.
He was in the left lane, the fast lane, and we were just trying to, you know, get around.
Johnson tells me she was headed home from Tulsa when the driver of a maroon Nissan Frontier truck started following her for miles.
Think it was going to be nothing like this.
Johnson says that man followed them all the way to this Walgreens.
And he's calling us everything. I'm a bad name.
They say they watched him in the mirror get out of his truck and approach their car.
Jumbo didn't ask.
Bam!
I thought it wasn't actually, because it was loud.
Johnson filed a report with the Muskogee police, who say they are looking into the incident. Johnson says she'll have to pay a $500 deductible just to fix the glass, but she says it's far less than the price of her life.
One of us that got killed, this can be replaced, but we can't.
And today we did reach out to Walgreens to see if they may have had any type of video that showed how that incident played out on Monday afternoon. But so far, we have yet to hear back from them. As soon as we do, we'll let you know what they have to say. Live tonight in Muskogee, covering news that matters, Jonathan McCall, Fox 23 News. 23 News.
0 to 100?
100.
Yeah, I got to give it at 100 as well. Yeah, gotta get
make America great again. Bet you that bumper sticker was on that vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Then when their car got stranded, that dude drove right by him. You know what's weird? I watched that whole thing, and the main thing I was mostly taken aback by was I couldn't tell if that nigga had purple contacts or not. I was looking at his eyes like, really, nigga? You can't be on the news with purple contacts. You can't. This is not a decision you can make.
You gonna be on the F alone,
right?
That's why they ain't got to sit at the desk.
You know, you too dark to pull those off, brother. What are you doing? Anyway, Carl Paladino apologizes for controversial Obama comments and says, I'm not racist. I was wired up. Buffalo politician Carl Paladino is walking things back from his remarks on wishing death on President Obama and saying Michelle Obama should live with apes in Africa.
They love that ape shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sent a response to WBEN in a live reading. The statement said he never intended to hurt the minority community who I spent years trying to help out of the cycle of poverty in our inner cities. To them, I apologize.
Mm-mm. I don't believe you. You need more people.
I can't believe Obama would let him say that, because everything is Obama's fault. Paladino said that he filled out the Art Voice survey in an emotional state of mind, and that he was wired up after watching Obama's response to the devastation of Aleppo. Your survey questions provided me with the spark to vent and write deprecating humor about a bad president for whom the mainstream media continues to seek an undeserved legacy. It's shit like this that, I don't know, man. I just hope, I pray to God I never get to so woke that I'm sounding like these niggas, because that's how they sound to me. Like, this shit sounds a lot the same with the terrible president with a bad legacy. You motherfuckers are trying to act like he was good and he's not, and I'm the only one that can see it. Anyway, his wife's an ape and a monkey. You're like, well, how the fuck you sound like so many of these other niggas? Like, how you and Cornel West sound similar? I wanted to say something as sarcastic and hurtful as possible about the people so responsible for the hurt and suffering of so many others. I was wired up, primed to be human and make a mistake. I could not have made a worse choice in the words I use to express my feelings. I spent years dedicated to the mission to defeat the thought that the liberal progressive elitist establishment can continue to hold our minority children captive. You white, our minority children? Captive in the cycle of poverty simply to provide their voting base. I don't intend to yield to the fanatics among my adversaries. I certainly am not a racist. Well, who is?
Nobody.
No one is a racist. 0 to 100.
100. And then, you know, people wonder why black people be like, I don't trust no white people at all.
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't feel like that, but there are some that go to that extreme because it was like, I don't know, you ain't got no sign, you ain't got no badge, you ain't got no superpower, there's nothing that lets me know you're a good quote unquote white person. Like, I don't know until you respond and react, and I ain't got time to decipher the difference.
Nobody's racist, guys. Okay, calm down. West Virginia official who called Michelle Obama aping heels fired. The director of a West Virginia nonprofit agency who called First Lady Michelle Obama an ape in heels in a Facebook post has been fired and the institution put under outside management, state officials said on Tuesday. Pamela Taylor, director of Clay County Development Corp, CCDC, which provides services to poor elderly residents, drew international condemnation after her comment last month about Obama went viral. She resigned in November, but was reinstated last month, prompting West Virginia to review its contacts with the nonprofit.
Turn around and fight her for real this time.
Yeah, good. Fuck her. Right. I don't care. So, she gone. Alright, 0 to 100 for that one?
Oh, 0. Yes, you gone.
Yeah.
That's her job, yeah.
She need to go.
Don't say dumb shit. I don't know why white people don't say dumb shit. Just y'all been around long enough to know the rules and the regulations.
Yeah, how do you think that was gonna go over? You know, it just wants to be nice to be like, I can't believe I got fired for this. All I said was she was an ape in heels.
Yeah, posted on my public Facebook page for all to see.
And you know, not to just. These women do not look better than Michelle Obama, so to come for her looks just seems fucking ridiculous.
Michelle Obama like a professional model. Come on, dog.
Like, if you have to go there with it, I mean, look in the mirror first. If that's really where you want to take this, like, that's such a ridiculous statement to make, but it's like they just get behind that keyboard and they just turn into fucking the Hulk.
Because you know, the internet make people think that what they say is not real. They think the people... they say these words at quote unquote ain't real,
right?
You know, it's not real, but you know, you lost your real income and your real fucking job,
right?
Yeah, show you how real this quote unquote fake playland called internet is,
right? So all right, I guess we need to get into some other stuff. Let's try to get some positivity going up in here, because it is kind of sorry it got down that way, but it kind of
you're good with me.
Kind of had to say some things, get it off my chest.
Right, most of the time it's me, so yeah, your turn today.
All right, let me see if I can find a song to talk about for white people. Oh, here's one. I forgot about this one.
So I don't even bother. I put that on my partner. I put that on my family. Oakland City represent, address me as your majesty. Yeah, you can kiss the ring, but you can never touch the crown. I smoke a million Swisher blunts and I ain't never coming down. Bitch, you ain't no Barbie. I see you work at Arby's. Number two, supersize. Hurry up, I'm starving. Gnarly, radical. On the block, I'm magical. See me at your college campus, baggy full of Adderall. Call me if you need a fix. Call me if you need a boost. Chicken head, they don't ever leave the coop. I'm in the coop cruising. I got the stolen plate, serving all the fiends over there by the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm colder than the fridge and the freezer. I'm snatching all your bitches at my leisure.
What happened to her?
I don't know. Who is she?
Creation?
I never heard that name in forever. I
feel like she just went back to being a white woman.
Oh, of course.
She was like working at the Gap or somewhere.
Of course, honey. She done pulled them dreads, quit calling folks niggas, and then somebody's AR department somewhere. Somebody's manager, supervisor.
Her and Vag Nasty just somewhere fucking
being white it up, and living the life.
Hanging out at golf courses and whatever white folks do.
Right.
Eating artisanal cheeses.
Come on.
What a gent. John Stamos, 53, pulls out all the stops on a dinner date with his girlfriend, Caitlin McHugh, 32.
And I don't know neither one of these people.
Wow. That is sad. You may know John Stamos as...
I've heard that name before.
Uncle Jesse.
Ah, okay. Yes, I do know him.
From Full House.
But I don't know that woman.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, they look smitten as they stop by for a bite of classic Italian cuisine in Madeo, at Madeo in Los Angeles. Caitlin, 32, couldn't contain her smile as the 53-year-old heartthrob led her to the restaurant arm in arm. Yeah, a lot of women been trying to lock down Jesse for a long time.
Apparently so. How old is that man?
53. I said in the start. Stamos looked dapper in dark hues, wearing a comfy quilted jacket with a smart black shirt buttoned down to show a hint of his tan chest. The grandfathered star kept things classic with loosely fitting jeans on bottom. He held a pair of black glasses safe in hand. The Fuller House star combed his dark locks to the side while sporting a touch of after Christmas stubble on his chin as he led his beautiful girlfriend to the restaurant by the arm.
So that's secretly saying he needed to shave?
I guess he's on break probably from the show, so they can need not to shave. The I Am Legend actress seems to be having the time of her life, beaming ear to ear with her while holding boyfriend John closely. I don't know. Who is she in I Am Legend?
I have no idea. Her part must be minor.
I thought was she the doctor maybe? Remember that doctor you tried to save that at the end, she the one that gets cured of the disease?
She might be.
She paired a short floral mini dress with the knee-high socks and boots that accentuated the Vampire Diary star long toned legs. Caitlin matched her leather accessories, showing off a jacket, boots, and shoulder bag, all in the same warm brown.
I don't watch Vampire Diary, so.
The star kept her style her own by wearing cute glasses and cascading curls in a rich red-brown hue. It seemed to be a fairy tale romance for the pair, who began dating in early 2016. Even ever the gentleman, John opened the door for his girlfriend and flashed a smile over his shoulder as he whisked the brunette beauty into the five-star restaurant. The ER actor made sure to take care of the valet, holding some cash in hand before disappearing inside. The couple have been happy to show off their relationship, often spotted making public displays of affection in and around Hollywood. When not enjoying each other's company, the duo are both hard at work on set. Fans can catch TV veteran John playing Dr. Brock Holt on Fox's horror comedy, Delight Scream Queens, while rising star Caitlin takes center stage in the 3D thriller 48 Hours to Live on January 13, 2017. Yep, that's what white folks is up to. Halifax raises a stink about flushable whites because they aren't flushable. That's right. It's become a very big problem in the white community.
What is it made out of then? Shit.
Halifax Water is issuing a public service announcement advocating for the use of a regular toilet paper over so-called flushable whites, which it says are clogging up Canada's wastewater utilities to the tune of about $250 million a year. Officials say flushable wipes don't break down as they travel down the drain, but instead get caught in wastewater treatment filters and clog up pumps.
Oh, they're not biodegradable.
The wastewater utility says the whites can cause costly repairs that lead to sewage backups and homes. The statement was accompanied by a 3-minute online video from Planifax, an educational nonprofit about urban planning that shows Halifax's waste workers raking out undecomposed waste from a treatment plant. They should be able to sue them for that shit. Because they market them as flushable, and then they're not, and then the fucking... You know, the city and the state got to deal with the cost of that.
Yeah, they're like, hey, if these are going to be flushable, they need to be able to break down.
Halifax Water is urging people to dispose of the towelettes by dumping them in the garbage. Halifax is one of a handful of Canadian cities, including Toronto, Metro Vancouver, and Fredericton, that have launched campaigns against flushing those moist towelettes.
Well, then, yeah, right. I could see somebody suing them going, hey, y'all need to make this shit biodegradable because y'all cost no.
It's just false advertising. Money, right? At this point, it ain't even about y'all need to make it. Y'all need to give us our money for how many man hours it's taking. Hours? We still say man hours, huh? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, you haven't switched that to person hours or something? Maybe that sounds weird. I don't know. How many person hours we put into this shit?
Yeah, we say man because we assume it's all inclusive of everybody. Just the human race is a man, it's apparently.
It's just some little shit I had never even thought about. Yeah, you're like, I see
it all the time. That's what people say when they go man hours.
It's going to take 20 man hours.
Right.
but it's gonna take 25 woman hours, cause you know women be talking, you know what I'm saying? They got to get it all out before we can really say what they been doing, okay?
They should get sued. So what is they wiping their ass with? The plastic
make daddy bag? A sandwich. So you make daddy a sandwich. Daddy want a sandwich, I'm gonna make daddy a sandwich.
Them woman hours, y'all know what I mean? I'm sorry, Cam, what'd you say? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
So what they wiping their ass with? The, plastic things you put the Coke cans in? You know, them things don't break down either.
I don't know. The six-pack can holders?
Yes.
I don't know. Fish getting caught in those shitty can holders.
Right. So, y'all blind in the fish. Got to run in the shit.
Well, there are a dozen lawsuits, more than a dozen lawsuits that have been launched in the United States against manufacturers claiming damages to individual municipal sewer systems.
Right. You should charge them, because if you tell people it's flushable, they're going to flush the shit, and the shit should biodegrade. If not, it's not flushable.
There's a man who took flights all over the world, a British man, took 2 days flying to different time zones so he can make December 25th last as long as possible.
Good to be white.
He spent nearly 2 days flying in different planes in the countries to have a 47-hour Christmas, December 25th.
Ain't there 24 hours in a day?
Right. But, okay. You know, in the time zone, like how you were talking about Wonga all the time, right?
Oh, yeah, he a day ahead of us. Yeah.
Right. So you start flying and you just... That way you can be like, it's still December
25th. Ah!
Yep. It's been 48 hours, but still December 25th. You guys can see from what he has on, he's quite festive. That's his suit.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
He looks like he really enjoys Christmas, is what I'm saying.
What he do? He's a bounce at Santa's club. What's happening here?
He's 58 years old. His name is Fraser Watt. And he started his race against Santa at midnight Christmas Eve from Auckland in New Zealand. And he passed through Hong Kong, London, and Los Angeles before eventually arriving in Honolulu, Hawaii at 11:38 p.m. local time. In doing so, he also broke the record for the furthest distance traveled on commercial airliners in a single day and the record for the furthest distance traveled in any 24-hour period. The incredible journey saw him travel almost 20,000 miles and stretch his Christmas day to a whopping 47 hours. What the fuck? What? Wow.
How expensive was this goddamn flight?
Hey, man, you know what? Do what you want to do, man. Trump president. Speaking into existence. You want a 2-day Christmas? Fuck it. Might as well.
Right. Enjoy. Shit, enjoy it.
Yeah, so.
You gonna do it for New Year's too, then?
He was able to. I don't know. I don't know what he's gonna do for New Year's. And other white people Christmas news. A mall elf maced a family who brought a 3-year-old to meet Santa after screaming at them to stay behind the line.
Oh, the elf was fed up with y'all shit. He been dealing with kids all day. He was like, nope, I told you and the motherfucking kids, mm-mm. Y'all made Grumpy the elf.
Elsie Brooks brought her daughter, Iligana, to the Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem, North Carolina last week, along with her friend Christina McDonald and mother Selma Brooks, according to the Winston-Salem Journal. One of the Santa's helpers, identified as Shannon Athena Watkins, 33. What? Now I want to see pictures.
Right. Who is this elf?
Who's
elf had enough of y'all.
She's a white woman too. That's Shannon that Watkins. I was maybe Shannon Athena Watkins, maybe. Right. But it's all white on white crime, y'all.
Okay. I could imagine how many people read her resume and trashed it. And she was like, but I'm white. Don't matter.
That's why she's working at the mall as a Santa elf.
Right.
You know, they couldn't get that job nowhere else.
Mm-mm.
White folks be tripping on them names.
Did Santa's elf really just come out after us?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. At least that's what this family claims happened to him while taking their 3-year-old daughter to see Santa at a local mall in North Carolina.
One of Santa's helpers started yelling at my mom, you need to get behind the line, and just really nasty. You need to get behind the line. You need to get behind the line, man. You can't be past that line.
It's very, very sad to see someone in the mall at the Santa place being that rude and ugly.
Sorry. So we said, ma'am, it is Christmas. No reason to talk like that.
But the ladies say Santa's little helper kept up the verbal assault. And when they took a picture of the worker to file a complaint, they say the elf opened up a can of mace and let him have it.
My face was on fire. Just really bad. My eyes somewhat still burn.
My whole face, like here, all the way through, all the way down here and in the front of my lips are burning.
Someone need a hug.
So the cops came in and charged Santa's helper with simple assault. And the mall's Santa photography shop says the employee has been suspended pending further investigation. Hopefully, whatever came over the elf won't spread to Santa.
I'm on my last break, okay?
That was as much an advertisement for Bad Santa as anything else. yeah, white people Santa is going crazy. A man who looked like Santa, the white one,
can't handle black one, that's Mall of America,
forced to fight for his ho 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 license plate after authorities denied his request because it could be linked to prostitution.
Oh, Santa hoeing?
Ho ho ho, they thought he's pimping, I guess. You see, he has a license plate that says fueled by milk and cookies. I mean, he's really rode this Santa thing out. Like, I guess he just figured.
I mean, fueled by milk and cookies. I mean, hoes like cookies, but I don't think, you know, I don't think that's what he meant.
Well, I think he just decided, I look like Santa. I'm riding this shit out with the complete Santa. I'm gonna get a Mustang, getting the customized plate. He got an outfit. He got the beard. You can see it on the screen. Like, he's completely gone there.
Oh, he's like whatchamacallit from Family Guy. Who put on the Santa.
Peter, Peter. A man who looks a lot like Santa Claus has been fighting to keep his ho-ho-ho license plate after he was told the phrase had a negative sexual meaning. Fred Lane was denied a request to have his license plate to read ho-ho-ho by Utah's Department of Motor Vehicle. Of course, Utah. You guys are such fucking perverts, Utah. Don't think we don't know. I hope you know the rest of the country knows you guys are into some sick shit, whatever it is.
We know Big Love started with y'all.
Y'all, I'm not even talking about that, okay? That's Karen getting on y'all's polygamy. I don't have a problem with polygamy.
I don't have a problem with it either,
but I do have a problem with all these anti-porn laws coming out of there,
right?
Like, y'all niggas don't be jacking it off left and right, you sons of bitches. We all know you're doing free shit, okay? I know what y'all jacking off to.
You criticizing everybody else, but come on.
Right, I know what you guys are jacking off to, but it must be some pretty outrageous shit. You guys want to ban it for everybody? Fuck out of here. Can't even say ho ho ho. Nobody was thinking about that. Everybody that saw that thought Christmas, except for you freaky motherfuckers, was like, you're probably talking about some prostitutes. Officials.
Oh, he came in looking, I look like motherfucking Santa Claus. Come on.
I googled Christmas cream pie and ho 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 is not what y'all think it is. Not what you think it is. Denied. Officials initially said the phrase had references to prostitution and ruled that Mr. Lane could not have it displayed on his car. Mr. Lane put up a fight and wrote a lengthy letter to the Department of Motor Vehicles. He said while he understood how it could be seen that way, that was not at all his intention. The Santa lookalike listed all the community service work he does at Christmas time to explain his reasons behind the license plate. He also sent photos of himself delivering presents to sick children and working with the homeless. He had to do all that. That's sad. He also joked that it could determine whether they're on the naughty or nice list. Oh, look at all these teddy bears. Good grief, this dude really takes it there. That is wild. So they eventually overturned the decision and gave Santa his license plate back. Oh wait, something wrong with the swing. Can you see me?
I see you.
Okay, all right.
I don't know if you tried to share screen. I don't see the share screen.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was going to show you guys. I don't know why Karen didn't let me know, but I was going to show you guys some pictures of Santa Claus, the look-alike dude. Let me know if it comes up.
Okay. You're actually frozen now. Oh, wait a minute. It's up.
All right, cool. So that's his ho-ho-ho license plate.
Oh,
right, that's him taking gifts to the kids. Then they had another one with the teddy bears. It's the one with the teddy bears.
Ooh, got a lot of teddy bears.
Yeah, like, why y'all hating on Santa, man? Let that man deliver to the kids. He ain't hurt nobody,
right? He probably the only one in the state that filed for that license, I mean for that tag. Come on, dog.
Yeah, well, it's like
what the hell you thought?
How out of touch Yeah, go ahead.
You thought I'm gonna show up as a pimp? What the fuck is that?
Right. Hell, bitches. Where's my money, ho-ho-hos? Maybe, what if he is a pimp, too, on the side? In addition to being Santa.
Pimping out the males.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Let's do some guess the race and wrap this shit up, okay? Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we have Karen in the chat room play a game we like to call Guess the Race, where they guess the race of the people involved, and of course they're all racist. All right, today's contestants is a lot of different people. Let's start with a fire chief is accused of misusing allowance to buy women's clothing. Do we cover this already?
No, I don't remember.
Chief Anton Roderick was arraigned Tuesday. Was arraigned Tuesday in Taunton District Court on charges that he used his official clothing allowance to purchase women workout clothes and lied about it to police. He was arraigned on two counts of presenting a fraudulent claim to an employer, one count of larceny under $250, and one count of making false statements to the police. He was released on his own recognizance. He did not return a call to the fire station seeking comment Tuesday afternoon. According to a report by Trooper Michael Reynolds of the State Police Detectives Unit assigned to the DA's office, the investigation centered around three invoices totaling $238 that Roderick submitted to the town of Dighton for four items of women's clothing between September 15th and September 21st. I mean, I guess.
Is Dighton's embattled fire chief, Anton Tony Roderick, seen here in prior interviews, but a no-show today for an emergency meeting of the Board of Selectmen, during which he was suspended. The meeting follows Roderick's arraignment Tuesday on charges of misusing his clothing allowance, spending nearly $240 of town money to buy women's clothing.
He has offended not only this board, but the taxpayers of this town.
The investigation began after a routine audit showed discrepancies.
I feel betrayed.
State police say Roderick made four purchases from Galls.com in September 2015, including a women's jacket like this, telling a state trooper the women's jacket was a better fit since he lost 30 pounds. Roderick admits to altering the receipt, so it said men's. When questioned, he stated that he was embarrassed to be buying a women's jacket for himself, so he changed the item to read as if it was a men's jacket. The purchases also include capri pants, similar to this. According to the state police report, at one point in the investigation, Chief Roderick became so frustrated with the interrogation, he insisted on trying on the capri pants in front of the state trooper to try to prove he bought the pants for himself. It was a tight fit. Roderick's girlfriend, who lives in this house in Swansea, tells investigators he bought the capri.
I'm only laughing at the slander. You ain't slick, nigga. It was a tight fit. Okay? You ain't slick, man. I know what you're trying to say.
For her, all of this is a big shock for people who know the chief.
The guy knows a hard-working man. He's one of the best workers the town has.
The investigation is continuing. In Dighton, Todd Kiskevich, WCVB News Center 5.
All right, Karen. Guess the race of Mr. Anton Tony Roderick.
I am going to go white.
Oh, what are you doing? Stop. All right, Karen's going with white. All right. Let's see what you guys in the chat room are going with. Oh, he's white. Capri pants, really? White shit.
To scroll up.
Oh, okay. Brought it for a side chick, black. We thought it was strange you wanted to call us to call him Juicy Black.
Ah!
Oh, he's white capri pants, really. Smug into chestnuts. White shit. Couldn't find his size at KG. Workout clothes. Lululemon white. Referred to as hardworking man white. I'm taking it back. They are too proud of him, so white. Okay, changes to white. White people don't come in Anton. Black. His bra and panties were white, like his capri pants white.
Oh.
The correct answer is actually white. Some of you guys did say black.
Squeeze his ass in them goddamn capris.
Well, okay, so there's theories, right? Because it's like, what is it? You know, what if he is like dressing, those are his clothes and he's wearing them?
That's true.
I mean, maybe that's possible. I mean, now if he wasn't wearing them, I'm assuming that would be a good cover. Maybe you feel like you would be protected under some sort of, like, you know, hey, this is my life and I do wear these clothes,
right? Like
but if you weren't wearing them, it's just the smartest lie to come with.
That's true. And my thing, maybe this is just the way I look at it, if he'd have been like, well, yes, these are my clothes, I bought these for myself, that's what he's saying,
but he tried to put them on in front of him.
But and I guess that thing's like, but I kind of said it's
if the department will pay for it and they say we're gonna pay for y'all's athletic gear and this is his, why is that wrong?
And if they didn't have any clause in there that says men or women, yeah, no problem with it then.
They didn't say you had to wear men's clothes,
right
they like just assumed they weren't for him because they were women's clothes,
right? They made that assumption.
So I don't know.
He might have been buying women's clothes all the long. They just
now maybe he got a side chick. I don't know. I just know that
that's
his story, and that's what he's sticking to. He was willing to put the pants on in front of them to prove it. So I don't know. Maybe people have a hard time imagining a manly firefighter would want to wear those clothes, but I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. Feel like there's a lot of judgment coming around his way, and I don't see why. Anyway, he was white, and you racists all got it right. Don't forget, Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT. That's GETBEVEL.com/TBGWT. You're going to want to get that clear skin, guys, okay? New Year's resolution. New Year's is coming up. Be kind to your face and your neck and all the bumps and stuff. Get it off of there. All right? We know that you bearded men out here cheating. Shave it all the way off, okay? So the bearded being like me can get our reputation back.
Yeah, and the more and more I think about it, a lot of it probably coming from my, I guess, sit hit privilege.
Oh, hold on. This is, why would you bring this up during the ad? I don't even know what's going on. I'm sorry, Bevel. I know y'all trying to get y'all money. I was still talking about shaving off beards. Why would you think I was finished? It was literally the middle of the ad, y'all. Y'all heard it. Sorry, Bevel. Anyway, getbevel.com/TBGWT. That's GETBEVEL.com/TBGWT. Go ahead, Karen.
Sure.
And it's cishet privilege, cisgender heteronormative privilege. But go ahead. Say, do your thing. No, go ahead. It's cool. It's over now.
And so that's probably where I was coming from. But like I said, I don't have a problem with him wearing them pants. If they didn't have anything that specified it, that he got the right to wear them. And he should, did he lose his job or he resigned? They didn't really say. Oh, he got suspended. That's right, he got suspended.
Yeah, he got suspended.
He shouldn't have got suspended.
I knew it was white clothing, though. I knew it was white because the clothing was only four pieces and it cost $238. So I was like, oh, he went to the high end. Like, he must have been a white man.
And I hope that fit did fit him well. He a firefighter. He ought to be fit.
All right, let's see what else we have here. Oh, here's one. The New York Times has been accused of causing a woman to suffer a stroke after publishing an article she claims portrayed her as a cruel and abusive mother who abandoned her daughter to a life of drugs and prostitution, according to court papers obtained by the DailyMail.com. Deidre Chapman, filed a lawsuit against the Times and John Otis, the journalist who wrote the article. She is suing over the piece entitled After Homelessness and Jail, A Harlem Woman Finds Stability Working in Construction, which was published December 2nd, 2015 in the Neediest Cases section of the newspaper. That's a section. The article tells the story of her daughter, Milan Chapman, who ended up on the streets when she said her mother kicked her out of the family home in New Jersey in 2012 after years of abusive behavior. Milan, then 22, told the Times, "I was so naive, oblivious to life. When she kicked me out, I felt relieved and I didn't have to deal with her misery." Desperate and alone, the teen whose father died from multiple sclerosis in 2013 lived rough in the parks. She was forced to do sexual favors for men who gave her temporary shelter and turned to drugs and alcohol to cope. She stole food and sold drugs to survive. In May 2014, she was sentenced to 10 months in Rikers Island for burglary. After prison, she turned her life around with the help of several nonprofit organizations, including the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund, for which the newspaper section takes its name. At the time the article was published, Milan was working in construction and living in the housing provided by a nonprofit in Harlem. She told the Times that she had been estranged from her mother for 3 years and had no contact with her 18-year-old brother. Her mother, Deidre Chapman, is not mentioned by name in the article. Deidre Chapman claims in the lawsuit that the devastating article is false and defamatory and seeking $10 million in damages to her health and reputation. "We stand by our story and intend to fight the case in court," said the New York Times. Chapman blames the article for causing her to suffer a stroke and a seizure, which happened after the article was published, leaving her with medical expenses. She also claims the piece destroyed her reputation in her community and her business because although she was not named, her identity was easily revealed by the article's information, including her hometown of Bergen, New Jersey. Her son suffered abusive behavior and threats following the article. The suit claims, adding, "The article is false in its overall defamatory portrayal of Deidre Chapman as a cruel and abusive mother who ejected her child from her home and rendered her homeless and destitute. Instead, Deidre Chapman insists she is loving, attentive, and caring mother to both Milan and her son, Sufiso Chapman." She claims that the New York Times did not seek comment from her prior to the article before being published and did not contact any other relatives, teachers, or authorities to verify the facts of Milan's story. John Otis and the New York Times deliberately avoided the truth, the lawsuit claims. She claims she contacted the Times December 14, 2015 with the true facts, but the newspaper refused to correct or retract the article. Her lawsuit lays out a conflicting version of events. Instead of being kicked out by her mother, Milan ran away from home age 14 after stealing $10,000 from her parents' bank account. The suit claims that Deidre Chapman worked tirelessly with the Bloomfield Police Department to find her daughter. DailyMail.com reached out to the detective named in the lawsuit, Steve Gerhauser, for comment. The lawsuit claims that when police did find the teen, she was living in a very compromising situation with an older man who was later convicted of child abuse. At this point, the mother claims her daughter returned home to live with her. The suit details Milan's privileged upbringing, claiming she was chauffeur-driven to expensive private schools and never wanted for anything while living in a lap of luxury. She attended the Harvey School in upstate New York at a cost of $48,000 a year and Storm King School, one of the oldest boarding schools in New York, the suit claims. Milan was constantly and repeatedly in disciplinary academic trouble at school and allegedly had an affair with a man and contracted herpes while at the school. Milan threatened to burn down the Harvey boarding school and was expelled. In an effort to help her daughter, Deidre Chapman reportedly supported Milan's attempt to make it in the music industry with singing and drum lessons and introductions to Missy Elliott's camp and Wyclef Studio and entertainers Puffy and Bad Boy. These were not the only connections that Deidre Chapman claimed she gave her daughter. Deidre Chapman was able to introduce her daughter Milan to highly successful people for inspiration as role models, including Condoleezza Rice and Nelson Mandela. According to the lawsuit, Milan was then allegedly expelled from Storm King for stalking, threatening, and bullying another student. The mother also claims that she brought a lingerie franchise, My Plus Lingerie, in 2012 at a cost of $65,000 to set her daughter up in the business. At this time, Deidre Chapman says she was nursing her dying husband and coping with her own multitude of health problems, including battling lupus, which often left her bedridden. The last straw was when Milan continued to steal from her mother and she eventually asked her to move out at age 19. The suit denies the teen was heartlessly ejected, but able to leave on her own accord to move in with a friend. Milan was happy to escape from the normal and reasonable restrictions mother Deidre Chapman had placed on a recalcitrant and a defiant daughter. Nevertheless, the mother claims she begged her daughter to return home, but their relationship deteriorated. The lawsuit also claims Milan refused to take up the opportunity to live with her father in upstate New York. The suit claims that during her homeless period, Milan remained on her mother's health insurance to buy prescription drugs, dropped out of two colleges, and racked up driving citations. Attempts to reach Deidre Chapman and Milan Chapman were unsuccessful. Deidre Chapman's lawyer, Rodney Smola, refused to comment on the case when contacted by DailyMail.com. So guess the race of this mother.
Black.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe Deidre Chapman's race is. White says Gourmet Goober, the newspaper automatically used the mugshot for this article. Black. The inner city doesn't sound as rough as the media has led me to believe. Black. Boarding school, $48,000 a year. White. Gave the daughter too many chances. White. What? I can't even tell. White. Okay. The correct answer is white. Is black. She's black, Karen. You got it right. A lot of y'all missed it. Karen, what made you go with black?
The name of the daughter.
Okay. Yeah, I thought, you know, vilifying her so easily without contacting anybody and believing that hard luck story without verifying any sources is something you would do to a black woman, because essentially it's black women's motherhood is always under question, you know.
Yeah, and the lawsuit is very, very valid, because odds are the mama probably got receipts and showing that she attended these schools and all this stuff. It's like, nah.
Yeah, so it's scary how much her and her daughter look alike too. That's her right there. Y'all can see it.
Mm-hmm. With the lock.
Yeah, and then this is her daughter. Man, that is scary.
Yeah, you look like a children.
She's like a very, just a young, like, version of her mom. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad.
As a parent, you're trying to do all you can do, and you're just being defiant.
Yeah, especially if, like, depending on who's lying there, like, it's only bad things, only bad options. Right. You know?
I mean, like I said, it's one of the things where the truth of that will come out, because you're talking about a $10 million lawsuit. We're going to find the truth.
Yeah. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2, I believe. Woo-hoo! Some of you guys are behind on Karen, but can you catch up? Let's find out right now. An Illinois man had sex with his female Husky Velvet and his male Malamute Wolf.
Oh, white.
Jesus, let me get it out. A 55-year-old Illinois man has been indicted for allegedly having sex with two of his pet dogs. Anthony Danner from Peoria has been charged with felony counts of sex with an animal. If convicted, he could face up to 3 years in prison. The court could also force him to give up his pets and ban him from keeping animals in his home. Danner's alleged conduct with animals has been the subject of a months-long investigation by the police. Authorities believe Danner's two dogs, a female husky named Velvet and a male Malamute named Wolf, were victimized by their owner between March 1st and March 17th this year. His criminal record includes traffic violations as well as a citation for failing to vaccinate his pets for rabies. Ugh. You like that rabies dog sex? Ugh. He was even held in jail on a $35,000 bond. Guess the race of Mr. Anthony Danner.
White.
Karen's going with white.
Mm-hmm. I'm like the 911 operator.
Let's check the chat room. Wanted to try doggy style with a real dog. White. Oh, come on, guys. You guys are just barking up the wrong tree with that. White. Aww. White Velvet Lover. White. Jon Snow White. That article even discusses the type of dog, says white. These dogs were walking around all sexy and shit. White. Right. What did the dogs have on? Bestiality white. Not vaccinating the pet sounds black. We don't take animals to the vet. We take them for a ride. Chriselle going off the board with black. trying to get back in the game. The correct answer is, and Karen, you got it right, he was white. Way to stick to your gut instinct. Don't blame me, chat room. I don't have a dog in this fight. Many of you guys got it wrong. Yep, and that's him. I don't know if you guys can see him.
Yeah, he look crazy.
Yeah, he looks like the kind of dude that would have sex with a couple dogs.
There's some big dogs, too.
Yep, that's what he was into. Dogging him out. All right, guys. Last thing. It's time for sore ratchetness. Where the hell is my sword ratchetness thing at? Oh, that's right. I moved it down here. All right, guys. Time for that sore ratchetness, guys. Okay, you guys come to know it and love it, but we hate it. Okay, what we're trying to do is prevent people from this irresponsible sore ownership. We need some sort of registration. We need to keep people from having these keep people from having these sores out in public with just no level of restraint, no responsibility. You can't just have a gun out in public, right? We have all kinds of laws against that and regulations to make sure that they use safety, but we have none against swords. You just hop on a train with a sword. Two men are arrested after running around New Jersey train station fighting over a samurai sword. Guess the race, black. They was black. One of them looked like Questlove.
Oh no.
The police chased and arrested a man.
What the hell?
Police chased and arrested a man running with a samurai sword at Penn Station in Newark, then arrested the owner of the weapon. The drama unfolded about 11 a.m. because ain't nobody got nothing better to do. Wednesday, when Port Authority officers saw Leon Curitan, 61, running with a long object inside of a black garbage bag. "That's mine," said Fernando Pellet, who was chasing Curitan. Told to drop what was in his hand, Curitan, who earlier this year was busted for assaulting a cop in Manhattan, complied, and police seized the bag. Inside was a sheath holding a katana, a Japanese sword. A source told us, said it was 4 feet long. Curitan was charged with theft and receiving stolen property. He was wanted on a warrant in New York. He was nabbed in April for a Union Square incident in which he walked up to officers at a community meeting, then allegedly threw a cigarette in one of the cops' face.
Oh.
He also allegedly punched in the head a second officer who tried to handcuff him and swung his screwdriver at police, scraping one cop. Damn, he didn't give a fuck. It's not clear if that sparked the warrant for his arrest or if he was wanted for another incident. He's currently being held on $1,000 bail for a samurai sword stealing. Pellet, 29, was arrested for weapons possession and released following his arraignment. Yeah, because he was like, "It's my sword." It was like, "Well, come on downtown. Y'all can share the same car."
Yes, y'all can.
The sword owner, who lives in Orange, didn't say he was carrying a weapon. Curitan, who lives in Jersey City, didn't say why he took it, police said. So... all right, guys, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this week.
Yeah, I hope you did. For some of y'all, this probably the last show of the year then, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of y'all, let me look at the dates, but yeah, for some, depending on what our schedule is, because we're either gonna do a show Saturday for feedback and no show Sunday, or we do no show Saturday and then do feedback Sunday or Monday or something. Mm-hmm. So the choice, you know, chances are this may be the last show of the year. If it is, it's been a wonderful year.
Yes,
it you guys has. Have made it really great.
It's been wonderful, y'all. It was wonderful to meet a lot of y'all.
Yeah, man. Like, it made me want to make this calendar and stuff. We're not selling the calendar because we're not trying to profit off of it or anything, but we might give it away to a couple fans and friends and stuff. Although I just realized that I need to ask the people that we took pictures of if they were okay with that, because I don't want to getting any trouble with anybody, because even though we're not selling it, I don't know if they feel comfortable.
Okay, yeah, ask people
with that. So I'm gonna actually email everybody whose picture we took, mm-hmm,
to be sure that it's okay,
that's included in the calendar, before we do anything like send it out. I just started that on the air. I hope that's not a problem. I mean, it's our friends, but at the same time, you know, and there are people that have shows and shit, but I didn't want to, I don't want to make a problem out of nothing. So, mm-mm. Yeah, man, y'all made this year really spectacular. And we appreciate y'all for that, man. Sincerely. Thank you so much. And, until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.